You want to open to the book of John, chapter 12. We want to just read a few verses and then touch on one major thought from this section, even though obviously there are many things that we could touch on. We just want to focus on one. Of course, Jesus had just had the Father speak to him, and the crowd was amazed by this. They thought, oh, it was an angel, or it was this, or it was that. They didn't understand. Christ tried to explain it to them, that the voice was for their sake, so that they would believe in him. And then he goes on to explain a little more about who he is and why he has to die to draw all men to him, and that they're only going to have him for a little while longer, and they should take advantage of that. Then in verse 37, if we want to really focus there for a little bit, verse 37, though he did so many miracles, yet they did not believe on him. The saying of Isaiah the prophet was fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been shown? They could not believe, he says in verse 39, because, again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These are the things Isaiah spoke when he saw his glory. And so Isaiah prophesied about these people who would hear and see, but they wouldn't be able to come to faith. Verse 42 is one of course there are many, but it's one of the most interesting passages in John. Verse 42 says, but among the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And if it was many of the chief rulers, you know, a lot of them, if they were put out of the synagogue, they could have just formed their own synagogue. But they were so afraid of the Pharisees. And we might say, well, you didn't really believe, did you? If you really believed, you would have acted like you believed. Sometimes we have this vision of faith or of belief that it's like an off-on switch on a light switch. It's either on or it's off. But the fact of the matter is that belief and faith is more like a dimmer switch on a light, where somebody might have a little bit of faith, and the light might be shining just a little bit with that dimmer switch just barely on, but it's still dark and you still can't see clearly. Somebody else might have a little more. Somebody else might have it full blown all the way. Why do I say that? Well, this passage reminds me of another story in Mark chapter 9. There was a man who had a child, and he wanted that child healed desperately. And he tried everything. He finally got the child to Jesus. The disciples had already failed. Everything he'd tried had failed. This was his last chance. Maybe this Jesus guy can do something. And Jesus said to him in Mark 9 and verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to the one that believes. And the father of the child cried out, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's an odd statement, isn't it? Well, wait, do you believe? Or do you have unbelief? I mean, can you have both at the same time? Yes. We can. In fact, all of us are in a constant struggle as to how much belief, faith, we have, and how much unbelief or doubt we have. And whether we like to admit it or not, sometimes our faith wins out, and sometimes our doubt wins out. And we don't often look at it that way, but the fact of the matter is, whenever we commit sin, whenever we take the easy way out, what we're really showing is a lack of faith. You see, Jesus had perfect faith in His Father. And you know what He never did? He never sinned. Sin is expressed, is an expression of our lack of faith and trust in God. Let's think about what this fellow said when he says, "Lord, help my unbelief." And we think about these fellows who, they believed, but they wouldn't admit it because they were afraid. Their fear, their doubt, their fear was overcoming their faith. How is that possible? Well, first let's understand this about biblical faith. Biblical faith begins with hearing the Word of God. That's where it starts. That's the seed. The seed is the Word of God. When we hear it, that seed's been planted. Now what's going to happen with it? Biblical faith not only begins with that hearing of the Word of God, it includes several things. It includes believing in God's existence, believing in God's Word, and believing God's Word. Now that may not sound that much different, but you'll find there's a lot of people out there who believe in God's Word, who believe, they say, that the Bible is God's Word, but they don't actually believe God's Word. They believe in it, they just don't believe it. They admit that it's God's Word, but they won't act on what it tells them to do in their life. And so it includes believing in God's Word and believing God's Word. It includes believing beyond our personal knowledge. See, we have to take it on faith that these men who wrote about the life of Jesus that were there, that saw those things, we didn't see those things. I don't know about you, but I didn't see Jesus die on a cross. I didn't see Him buried in that tomb. I didn't see Him rise again. I've never seen Him raise somebody from the dead or heal a lame man or a blind. I never saw that. So I have to go beyond just my knowledge of what I've seen and what I've experienced, and I have to have some faith that goes beyond that. It also includes believing to the point of action. You have to actually do something about what you say you believe if it's really going to be biblical faith. Now you can say I believe anything, and you can call it faith if you want to, but it's not biblical faith if we don't act on it. And then it also includes believing to the point of inaction. In other words, it means that we go to the point where we will do some things for Jesus because He said to. But it also means that we believe enough that we will stop doing some things because He doesn't want us to. Now, for some, it's easier to do the things than it is to stop doing the other thing. For others, it's easy to stop doing things, but it's harder to put the things into action. And that's a lot of times what I've often heard referred to as negative Christianity. It's Christianity that says, I'm a Christian because I don't steal. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't kill. I don't cuss. I don't murder. I don't, and it's all the negatives of what I don't do, and that makes me a Christian because of all these things I don't do. Christianity is not a religion of I'm a Christian because I don't. Christianity is a religion of I'm a Christian because of what I do, as well as the things that I don't do. But if we think we're going to be pleasing to God just by not doing bad things, we're sadly mistaken. Jesus time and again makes it clear, stop doing the bad things, start doing the good things, or you're not going to please the Father. And so we've got to go beyond, we've got to have both of those things, action and inaction at the proper times. And biblical faith concludes or comes to an end when it becomes knowledge. See, right now, we have faith that there is a heaven. We have faith that there will be a resurrection that we'll take part of and that we'll go to judgment. We have faith in those things. When we actually get there, we won't have faith anymore. We'll have knowledge then. It won't be faith. And so we need to understand that biblical faith. Now see, here's the thing. The problem with unbelief is that the unbelieving may have some faith. They just don't have enough to prompt them to be what God wants them to be. And that was what this fellow was struggling with. Was he did believe, and he wanted the Lord to help him have enough faith that his son could be healed. And that was the problem here in John 12 as well. These people believed that they saw the miracles he'd done. They knew that. They'd seen that. So they believed he's got to be from God or he couldn't do those things. But they didn't believe it enough to stand up against the people that they were afraid of. And that's very important for us to recognize. It's easy to say, I believe, when you live in a country where 80% of the people say, I believe. But what's going to happen when you're in that circumstance where you're the only one out of 10 that believes? Then what? Is it not going to be as easy then, is it? Now, I'm not saying that we'll necessarily get to that spot right away, but it's already there on a lot of things where if we believe that it's wrong for an unmarried couple to be shacking up together, well, we're by far in the minority. Are we going to stand up and say, well, look, yeah, I know everybody's doing it, but it's still wrong. More and more, the polls on same-sex marriage are moving more and more toward people becoming accepting of it. The younger generation, those 18 to 29, right in there, the 20s, it's only about 25% of them that think it's wrong. And it's going downhill even further with the younger kids. Because they're being taught that that's okay. Will we be able to still stand up and say, well, look, I know we're outnumbered, but it's still wrong. And whatever it is, whether it's a moral belief, whether it's a doctrinal belief, whatever the case, the unbelieving may have some faith, but the unbelieving are fearful. And that's what we see here in John 12. These people were afraid. And when you make decisions out of fear, you don't make good decisions. Have you ever made a decision when you were panicked about something? Did you make the really smart choice? Usually not. That's how the scam artists get people. A lot of times they use fear. Oh, but if you don't do this, just think how bad it's going to be if you don't. And so, I got to do it because I don't want that bad thing to happen to me. And then something bad happens to you because you fell for the scam. But see, the unbelieving depart from God. And the unbelieving will be lost. And the unbelieving will not be lost alone. They'll take somebody else with them. So we see these two situations, John 12 and Mark 9, where these individuals had faith, but they were concerned. There was concern about how much. In John 12, they didn't have enough. In Mark 9, this fella, even though he was still struggling with his unbelief, he knew where to go for help. He didn't cry to his atheist neighbor, "You know, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Will you help me out here?" He didn't go to his fellow Roman citizen and say, "You know, I think there's only one God. What do you think about that?" He went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I do believe, but help me because I've still got some doubt." Can we be honest enough with the Lord to do that? Or are we going to pretend, "Oh, I don't know, I never have any doubt at all"? "Well, I don't know about doubt, but you sure are good at lying." We all have doubt that creeps in and sneaks in from time to time. How do we handle that? Do we take it to the Lord? Or do we just pretend it doesn't exist? You see, some faith is not enough. If we believe enough to fear God, to be afraid of God, but not enough to love Him, that's not enough faith. If we have enough faith, if we believe enough to be miserable with guilt, but we don't have enough belief to actually repent so that sin can be forgiven, we don't have enough faith. If we believe enough to desire the blessings that God offers, but we don't believe enough to accept the responsibilities that He calls on us to have to get those blessings, we don't have enough faith. If we believe enough to say the right things, but not enough to do the right things, we don't have enough faith. When we believe enough to stop committing a sin, but not enough to add a good work, we don't have enough faith. When we believe enough to start obeying, but not to continue, you remember those folks in the parable of the sower? They started, they sprang up, but then they withered away. Or they sprang up, but then they got choked out by the thorns. If we have we get started, but then we don't keep going. We don't have enough faith. When we believe enough to obey one of God's commands, but not enough to obey another one, we don't have enough faith. And a lot of times, that's where we are sometimes. That's why we never get the sin completely out of our lives. Say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And yeah, I'm doing the best I can." But are we really? Are we really doing the best we can? When we know what the command is, and we say, "Well, you know, this one, I'm doing this one over here. This is a big one. But you know, that one over there, yeah, I know Jesus said that. I know Paul wrote that to that church, but you know, I don't have to do that." When we start picking and choosing God's commands like we're going down the cafeteria line, we haven't got enough faith. But finally, when we believe enough to obey, and sadly, this is where a lot of Christians are. A lot of who would consider themselves and others would consider them faithful Christians. But this is where a lot of us are, and we've got to work on it. We believe enough to obey, We really obey. Yeah, I know everybody has a little slip up here and there, and yeah, we know we're not perfect, but hey, we're obedient. We're faithful. We're doing good. We make mistakes every once in a while, but we don't just have this constant nagging sin that we're always dealing with. It's just every once in a while something sneaks in when we're not. We believe enough to obey, but not enough to trust God's grace. Do we really trust God's grace? Do we really believe Him when He says, if you walk in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses you from all sin? Do we really believe that? Or do we say, man, I've got to be perfect or else? No, we know. If we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Have we forgiven ourselves for those sins? Are we trusting His grace? Are we still living with the sins that were before our baptism even? Baptism washed away all my sins, but boy, I'll never forgive myself for what I did back then. Do we really trust God's grace or not? If He said those sins were washed away and He forgave them, why are we still holding on to them? We don't have enough faith. We don't believe in His grace. It's sometimes easier to believe in the commands and obey the commands than it is to trust Him and His grace. If you're like some of these folks we talked about tonight, and you've had enough faith to do some things, but not enough faith to do other things, why not make that right tonight? Come like the man in Mark 9 did to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem with my faith. Help my faith. If you're not a Christian, you can become one if you believe enough to obey the commands that Jesus gave, to confess Him before men, to repent of your sins based on your belief that He is the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you have a need to respond tonight, please do so as we stand and as we sing.